tells us clearly how to know this. Very easy. So you see a lot of adultery, a lot of that Jesus is not being exalted there, because the Holy Spirit will never exalt Jesus. I mean, the devil will never exalt Jesus Christ. And we come and sing it here. Be thou exalted, Lord. If you sing it again, me and you. Hallelujah. Be thou exalted. And the usher says, it's okay. No, no, no. Be thou exalted, Lord. And you are going around looking for a miracle. You are not looking for Jesus. You know, they asked Mary, who are you looking for? He said, I'm looking for the Lord. And the Lord said, I'm here. You will see him unless you are looking for him. He said, Mary, who are you looking for? And Jesus knew he was looking for him. And Mary said, I'm looking for my Lord. I don't know where they have what. And Jesus said, Mary, I'm he. You wouldn't find him unless you look. And if you don't search, you don't get. The Bible says, when you find the word, you have to search. I was talking to somebody from somewhere who came to see me yesterday. And I said, I've been reading 2 Peter chapter 2. I said, I want to show you how I study. I said, 2 Peter chapter 2, I've made 7 notes on it. There are 22 verses. 7 notes. I said, let me show you. So I started to show her. She went, oh. I said, yeah. If you search, you what? Find. 7 notes. 7. In one chapter, I said that I just moved over to chapter 3. I've been on chapter 2 for a while, making these notes. That's the bread of life. And I've said it here, and I'll say it again. The devil will fight every Christian on knowing Christ. He will fight with them. He will want to keep you in ignorance. Because if he keeps you in ignorance, he will eat you like lunch anytime he wants. You want faith to stand, don't know what you are doing, be doing rituals, go do this way you like, you live at your own pleasure and convenience, and you will be weak. Cover a lot of things under carpet. That's what it does. The greatest battle is not all this. Nigeria, the why they are yelling at him. These people are losing him. These people are binding him all over the place. The greatest battle is to know Christ. That's why he will fight me and fight with the finish. And I've challenged Christians everywhere. Check it out. Anytime you want to study the Bible, check what is going on. Tell me whether it's easy. Do you know many Christians don't study the Bible a whole week? And they don't know it's the devil beating them about the bush. For you to study the Bible, you have to put a lot of what? Because you don't want to. You don't want to. And they check it. It's not easy for you to come for Bible studies. There's always, I'm tired. There's always something that pops up. There's always something that, legitimate things, you raise them up. But God says, I put my word above my name. That's where the battle is. He wants to keep the church ignorant. An ignorant Christian is a blind Samson, and the Philistines will push him out. Because he doesn't know his right from his what? Well, anything they do, he says, God. Anywhere they fall down, he says, the Holy Spirit. The anointing moved there. Hi, wow, wow, wow. He doesn't know anything. You can't discern the good. You don't discern it by age. You discern it by spiritual maturity. That's the Bible says, when you grow and become mature, that's when you know right from wrong. Before they know, you're a baby. Babies don't know nothing. Akwabia, my daughter. Yeah, I can't send her outside. If I see my daughter outside, I'm running, and everybody that sent her outside is between me and them. Because she knows nothing. But my big boys, I can send them outside. That's like the same thing with spiritual maturity. If you're not mature, you wouldn't know right and left. You can go from fellowship to fellowship and still be ignorant and be a baby. Spirituality is not by how long you've been there. And it's not by mannerisms we present. It's not like that. Spirituality is being led of the Spirit, being inspired. Anything that's of the Holy Spirit is spiritual. Once it's the Holy Spirit that's propelling your life, guiding your life, you're a spiritual person. But if it's your flesh, you're a carnal person. And the most important thing in life is to transit from carnal life to spiritual life. And let me tell you, it's a hard job. It's not easy. Telling you. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm telling you the fact. It's something you have to be determined and fight to do. Because that's where the devil will fight. So you don't trust. He wants you to be carnal. But you can defeat him every single time if you want to. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. One time I was here. I was standing here. I heard this voice. Even it was so physical, my ear tingled. He said, teach them grace. So teaching them grace. Teach them grace. I laughed. I said, I will teach it again. He doesn't want me to teach it. He'll come and tell me, nobody will hear you. I say, no, they will hear me. Because my confession matters. Praise the Lord. I will tell you a story. Some years back, I used to dream every day that I was dead and they buried me. Every day, unless I didn't close my eyes, I would see myself dead. I would see myself in the coffin. And I would see the grave and they would put me in there. And this dream was every day continuously. You know my response? Nothing. Because I wasn't ignorant of what God said. God said, we long like life or what? That's all I would say. In the morning, I would laugh. I said, devil, that's your God. Let me tell you what God said. We long life our what? Satisfy. I said, that's the end of the matter. This one you're showing me is not from God. So I'm not even bothered. You're wasting your time. Because no man can say anything it comes to pass except the Lord has commanded. And since God didn't command this, it doesn't attract my attention. I don't have time for your waste of time. Now, if I didn't know the word, I would call people to start binding him. But my faith came up and put a shield. And after 7 days, he realized I wasn't giving my attention. He stopped. Am I not here? Okay, come and kill me now. Let me. I'm here now. Pastor. I saw myself in the grave. The spirit of death. Spirit of death. Please. Can we bind him and lose him? Come on. You already lost half the battle because you're afraid. The reason, you don't know him. If you know him, you know his word is here. You won't shift 1 second. You won't bother 1 second. You go to bed and sleep fine because he watches over his word to perform. And nobody can stop him. I mean, can you imagine every day I go to bed, I see the dead, a coffin, and they put, this devil is so wicked. He show me that graphic thing so that I will be afraid. And then the following day, the same thing. 7 days in a row. Each of those 7 days, I wake up and laugh. I say, no, point is that you are a liar to start with. So there's no truth from you. But let me share the truth with you, just in case you don't read the Bible. Then I'll read the scripture for him. And I said, that's where I stand. And since God didn't command this, it doesn't attract my attention. I don't have time for lies. I stand on the truth. They have headache. They have pain. They have nothing. Nothing. For no weapon formed against us can prosper. See, that's what it does. It doesn't want you to. And you say, Pastor, you were a pastor. I was not a pastor. I was just a church-going Christian. When all these things were happening. It was time I was studying scripture. May I really ate the scripture. I was studying the three, study and study. Man, it was so exciting. I was studying and make notes. So he came at the wrong time. The word was already there. So that's what we're teaching again today. I will implore you to please don't let the devil deceive you and make you think the word of God is not important. You have nothing else to live by. I'm not kidding you. You don't have anything else to live by in this wicked world. You have nothing that prepares you for evil day except the word of God. And evil days do come. You have nothing else that prepares you. Nothing except the word of God. We live in a time of surprises. Check and see what's going on now. We see unusual things happening. We see what we've never seen before. Even in the political scene, the things we've never had before, the kind of things we won't hear in public, is now mainstream conversation. Can't you see what's going on? Go to hospitals and see all manner of typhus, diseases that doctors don't know about. Careers collapse, governments collapse, authorities collapse. So they were discussing on television, how come Roman Empire was the definition of civilization for over 400 years? They were asking, how come it collapsed? After 400 years of glory, it collapsed. Now it's ruins. Communism came and collapsed. Now capitalism is struggling and can't find its way. Even those who own capitalism are denying it. We're sitting here, Americans are rushing to Canada to look for work. Right now. They are going for medical treatment in Mexico, India, and all over the place. And the Bible told us that these days are coming. The only thing that will prepare you is what the enemy doesn't want you to give attention to. The word of the living God. Because that's what we build your faith up. So that when these things happen, the Bible says by faith we stand. You stand, Parker. Unshakable, immovable. You hear bad news, you laugh, you go to bed and sleep. Because you know what he said. And you'll be established. You'll be what? Established. Believe the Lord your God, and you shall what? And then believe his prophets, and what will happen? You'll prosper. All the writings of the prophets, apostles, don't joke with them. He says it's medicine to those that find it. It's medicine to their body. All their body. You people went to the women's conference. A couple of these women have been talking to me. How they got healed. How they got healed. Just got healed. Hearing the word of God. Transforms your life like nothing else. Changes you. From a bad husband to a wonderful husband. Before, your wife didn't want you to come home. But now she can't have enough of you because of what the word of God has done. Romans 7:6. I don't know how much time it means. But did you get anything from what I'm sharing? I'm rambling, just rambling, trusting the Lord to bring us something that helps us. Romans 7:6. But now we have been released from the law. We have been released from what? The law. For we died to it. And are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. And I'm saying that any Christian who is interested in serving Jesus must give attention to what the Holy Spirit is saying here. That don't serve me in the old way of laws of Moses, serve me in the new way of living in the Spirit. Any Christian who is really interested in serving Jesus, must be interested in knowing what the Holy Spirit has told him. How? What's that? It's not working. It's not outward show of worship. It's not Pharisaic display of so-called holiness. That's not from the heart. That's not inside. That's not sanctification. Sanctification is it should teach me how to live in the Spirit. If this is the new way to serve God, I should understand this living in the Spirit very, very well. Because that's what the Holy Spirit prescribed. So don't serve me in the old way of letters of the law, Moses and the Pharisees did that thing they did then. You can't serve me with it now. How can I not be interested in knowing what it means to live in the Spirit? How can I not be? Because when I understand it, then I can live the life that is acceptable to God. Amen. I said amen. So sanctification must focus on these things so that the church and Christians will understand exactly what the Holy Spirit is telling them and how to live this life so that they can live it the way that God wants us to live it. So for clarity's sake, so we can do some kind of comparison, let's even look at the law of Moses that the Holy Spirit says, don't serve me through that. Don't serve me. Galatians 3:12, we read this before. Galatians 3:12, but the law does not rest on faith. I'm reading Amplified Version. But the law does not rest on faith, does not require faith, has nothing to do with faith. Amplified. But the law does not rest on faith, does not require faith, has nothing to do with what? Faith. For it itself says, this is what the law says. This is the righteousness. The law is trying to produce righteousness. This is what the law says. The way to righteousness, the way to live right, the way to life. The way to life is the way to live a righteous life. That's what the law is prescribing here. It prescribes it and said, it says, it has nothing to do with faith. For it itself says, he who does them, that is the laws of Moses, the things prescribed by the law, shall live by them. And not by faith. So the law is saying, don't live by faith. You don't need to live by faith. You can produce life. You can produce the righteousness that God wants by doing these things. That's what the law says. That's why it says the law has nothing to do with faith. It has no reference to God at all, except in the sense that it's telling you these are the laws of God. There is nothing the law requires for you to do except you do them. He said, now you do that to produce righteousness, to produce life, the life that God wants you to live. And because it has nothing to do with faith, it's a natural thing that we are required to do. Many people embrace it, even today. And that's why people find it difficult to let the law go. Because it has nothing to do with faith. It's what you do with your natural senses. So for God's sake, what is wrong with obeying the laws of God? Tell me what's wrong with that. But Moses said, these are the laws of God. If you want to produce life, do what? Obey them. So it agrees with human understanding. And every religion practices this set of laws of do's and don'ts that makes you a good one, a good member, or a bad member. And they add to it for good measure rituals. Once you talk of God and spirits, the human mind goes to ritualism immediately. Even from our local, our village priests, you know, they will add some kind of rituals that sometimes you cry like monkey in the morning. Or do, you know, there has to be some ritual that goes with it. So it looks like you are talking to spirits now. How can you talk to spirits with the... No. There has to be something a human being thinks up and thinks that this is the way I can communicate with a spirit. They do rituals. And then they add some restrictive laws and said, I can't do this so I don't get the spirit angry. So they put all those things down. It's okay with human mind. Every religion. You go to Islam, they give you the ones they don't do, the ones they do. All of them. And the Jews came and beat everybody in it. They added more laws. They said, this is not enough. So they added more. And then added the traditions of men to it in the mix. And brought more rituals and added. So that we look like now we are dealing with a God. Are you surprised that people find it difficult to understand the grace of God? Because it's foolishness. Are you surprised? You immediately talk of laws, everybody starts at ease. Paul said, if I'm preaching the laws of Moses, why am I persecuted? He says, I'm preaching the grace of God. There's an offense the cross brings. because he took the law and threw it overboard. A man said, whoa, no, foul. You don't do that. And the passport started persecuting him. They said, this man is teaching us not to obey the laws of Moses. they beat him up. Threw stones at him. As we are sitting there, I'm telling you, the law makes sense to you. More than grace. Makes a lot of sense. And God says, don't serve me through that. What? I'm supposed to obey your laws. Now God said, no, don't serve me through that, my friend. And it's without faith. And God says, just in case you think you want to do what I like, without faith it's impossible to what? Please me. You can't please me. But the law has nothing to do with faith. So how do I please God? With something that doesn't have anything to do with faith. Don't you begin to see trouble immediately? God says, without faith, it is what? And the law says, no, you can live without faith. You can live by doing these things. Just do them. And the man that the law is talking to is already a condemned man. If he knows that. Because in sin he was conceived, and in sin he was what? Born. He's already a condemned. Humanity is already condemned. If they know that, they will know that all those doing the law will not produce righteousness for them, because none is righteous. No, not already. They're already in trouble. All of us. And he said, there is none that seeketh God anyway. Then he gave us about 7 indictments or 10 against humanity. And God says, okay, the law says, you can produce life to somebody who is dead in sin and trespass. How can he produce life? How can he produce it? But it's his mind. So he thinks he's good. Though he starts, and he doesn't understand that his nature is evil. He can't produce this. His nature is evil. Because when he lost the glory of God, he took on the nature of Satan. It's like, you know, in this country, they buy glasses for dog. And put hat. And put muffler. It's like giving a dog laws to keep. A dog is a dog. And they brought one, and the dog killed the 4-year-old boy in their family. Within 2 hours, they bought him. Why? He's a dog. So you give laws the man who is by nature what? Sinful. God says, I want to give it to you to show you yourself. You can't keep it. You can't keep it. Because by nature you are sinful. That's what the Bible says. The law was given to reveal to us our what? Sinfulness. So we can run to Christ to help us out. That's a schoolmaster that reveals to you, you are bad. You can't keep this thing. You have problems. You have issues. So that law thing is what God says. And God says, don't serve me through that, because you are sinful by nature. Don't go there. And number two is, it doesn't even change a man. Because man's problem is deeper than what he's doing. Man's problem is coming from where? Inside. Those 10 commandments cannot change him, cannot penetrate his dead spirit, cannot go inside him. He needed a new nature. Laws don't create anything. So you can understand when God says to us, don't serve me that with that system, because he can't change you, can't do anything. Serve me in the newness of what? Life. Serve me in the spirit. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Amen. And so the scripture says something in Galatians 3:21. Is the law then contrary and opposed to the promise of God? Of course not. For if a law had been given which could confer spiritual life, then righteousness and right standing with God would certainly have come by the law. He said, it's not that the law is against the promises of God, but that the law cannot produce spiritual life. It cannot produce it at all. It cannot produce it. And so God says, the way to give life now is different. The way life is produced is now different. Do you understand me up to here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Hebrews 7:19. For the law made nothing perfect. Do we understand why? Do we understand why? Eh? Can't change you. Can't make you perfect. Can't produce the righteousness that God wants. He said the law made nothing what? Perfect. So if I depend on that system, it will never make me perfect. Impossible. The law made nothing perfect. But the bringing in of a better hope is introduced through which, For the law never made anything perfect, but now we have confidence in a better hope through which we now draw near to who? Say there's a bringing of something new, a better hope through which we now draw near to who? Bringing in a better expectation, if you put it there, that way. A better expectation that will bring man finally to God and restore man to God and bring man close to a holy God. That produce the righteousness that will make man and God have fellowship. So that's what he's saying. That there's a better expectation, a new way that God introduced that brings man to God, restores man in fellowship to God, that brings man into relationship with God. And so, what is this new way? What's this thing called new hope? What's this thing that's called new way? Galatians 5:16 explains it. This I said then, walk in what? In the Spirit. Everybody say, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see now, something has changed. Moses said, you do these laws, if you can do them, you produce righteousness. God said, don't try that thing. Come over here. Let me show you how you can produce righteous life. Walk in the Spirit. Then you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Remember where we started. He said, walk in newness of life. Something new is happening. Walk in the Spirit. So the word Spirit is introduced. In the law, there was no mention of Spirit. All they were told, the man who does them. So there was mention of man, but there was no mention of Spirit. So one huge difference is that the law is talking about you and me. But the new life is talking about the Spirit reality, the Spirit being. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does it mean, walk in the Spirit? Philippians 3:3. For we who worship by the Spirit of God, now walk in the Spirit. And Paul says, yeah, walk in the Spirit, worship by the Spirit of God. And Jesus said, God is looking for people to worship him in truth and what? And the Spirit. Not by the law. That's in Spirit. For we, New Living Translation is what I'm reading. Okay, let's read King James first. Then we can come and read New Living. Remember, we're trying to solve one problem. Walk in the what? Spirit. And Paul already says, he says, for we are the circumcision. That's those who are circumcised, which worship God in the Spirit. And rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. The law says you can obey the law by your flesh, by yourself. And we walk in the Spirit say, no, we don't go that route. We don't have confidence in our flesh, but we rejoice in Christ Jesus. We rejoice in who? He said, we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit. What do? We rejoice in Christ Jesus. Now let's go to New Living Translation and see what it means. New Living Translation says, for we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. You can see, it's still saying the same thing King James said, right? Now it says, we rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. King James said, we rejoice in Christ. This one makes it clear. He said, we are rejoicing because we found in Christ the things that God did for us that brought us joy. He said, we rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in what men do. We don't put confidence in what men do. The Lord says, no, you can. The man that does them shall live by them. You don't have to live by faith. But the new way says, no, you live by spirit, by your spirit, and then you have to walk in what Christ has done. Now, the Bible says, in Christ we live. And what? So if I'm going to walk, it's telling me that my walk is in Christ. See how I brought it to Jesus? Walk in the Spirit. This is not carnal things that you see. It's the Spirit of Christ. Walk in Him. Walk in Him. Because in Him you live and move. What is moving? Walk. So I can remove the word move and say, in Him I live and walk. I walk in Him. That's what Paul's saying. He said, we have don't have confidence in the flesh. We walk in what Christ has done. We walk in Christ. Walk in Christ. He is the way. You walk in Him. He's the way that leads you to God. You walk in Him. You take your walk in Christ Jesus. And you have your movement in Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen. And so if Christ is the way, and that's where you walk, if I'm directing you to the right way, where should I direct you? Come on now. Where should I point to? I'm asking you. Where should I point to? Because it is when you walk in Him, you're walking in the Spirit. And so the scripture from the Old Testament to the New Testament has been pointing humanity to walking in Christ. Right from the Old Testament, the prophets have been saying it. Down to the New Testament. Now, in Isaiah 45, 20, 22, New Living Translation says, let all the world look to me for salvation. Let all the world, Isaiah 45, 22. Wow, this is new. Let all the world look to me for what? Who do we look to for salvation? Okay? You see, the prophets are writing it. For I am God, there is no other. Verse 20, 23. I have sworn by my own name. I have spoken the truth, and I will never go back on my word. Church, listen to what God said. Every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will confess allegiance to me. Do you know Philippians quoted this? At the name of Jesus, every knee. As we're quoting. Then let's continue. The people will declare, the Lord is the source of all my righteousness. And the Lord is the source of all my what? Righteousness and strength. Ability to do it. Okay? And all who were angry with Him will come to Him and be ashamed. He said, if you reject this thing, you'll be ashamed. Then the next verse, 25. In the Lord, all the generations of Israel shall be what? So you see, justification is coming in Christ. And in Him, they will... Paul said, I can't boast of anything except what Christ has done. I make my boast in the Lord. So you see the prophet saying, you're going to be pointed to Jesus because all your righteousness is going to come from Him. And strength to live is going to come from Him. And justification is going to come from Him. He said, but if you reject this thing and get angry and say, I don't want that, I want the Lord, say, so you're going to be ashamed. So only those that trust in him will not be put to shame. So you see, he's pointing us to Jesus Christ. And now in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 1, New Living Translation makes it clearer too. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily what? Sweeps up. And let us run with endurance this race that God has set before us. Verse 2. We do this. How do we strip off that sin? How do we do that? How do we do that, church? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our what? Our faith. Do you know that your life is your faith on display? All the issues of life come from the heart. And as a man think it, so your life is just your faith on display. But if you want the life that pleases God, the Bible says without faith in Christ, you can't get it. Because when you come and begin to believe in what God has done in Christ, that faith you have in Christ, we begin to produce the works. The Spirit of God will start producing that work. Producing it in your life. It's not by effort. You just see it happening. You'll be doing things beyond your ability. Because God said, I've sworn that we must confess that Christ is your strength. You can't come and say, oh, it's my... No. You must confess that Christ, all your righteousness is coming from him, and all your strength is coming from him. So all that thing you see that is righteous in your life is coming from him. It's not coming from you. Not coming from the law. He is the source of it. That's why he's the author and finisher of our faith. He is the author of our life. Praise the Lord. Now, have you followed me to this point? Did I lose anybody? All on board? And that's what they say when I joined the train to somewhere. I had all on board. I said, I'm on board too. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So if I want to walk in the Spirit, I'm going to come and walk in what God has done in Christ. Because God swore and said, everybody must confess that their righteousness is coming from him and their strength is coming from him. Which means all the works of righteousness that you are going to do is going to come from Christ. It can't come from any other source. It's going to come from him. Now the Holy Spirit now reveals Jesus to us. Do you not see why the Jesus said, without me you can do, because all your righteousness is coming from me. That's why he said, look, you're like branch, I'm like the vine. He said, you can't bear fruit without me. Because all your good works you are going to do in this world is coming from me. All of it. I'm the source of it. He's the source of the river of living water. He's the source of life. If you remove Jesus by the side, you don't have any source of righteousness. At all. And you don't even have strength. The Bible says, why we were without strength? Christ what? That was, and became our strength. So we can do all things. We can do all things only through the strength that Jesus supplies us. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to make a differentiation here. You know, under that, I can be walking in the law and saying, God, come and help me do the law. I can be, because it's, unless God gives you a revelation of Christ, the law makes a lot of sense. It's a struggle to live the thing. It's a huge struggle. So a lot of people, in spite of all these things, they still latch on to the thing because they don't understand the difference. I say, Lord, help me keep your law. That's good prayer. It's wonder. I'm not mocking it. It's a good prayer. But how about, Lord, thank you for what you've done in my life, that now I have a new life, and now I can do all things through the strength you give me. Check these two prayers. Lord, help me keep your law. It's a good prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. And Lord, thank you that sin shall not rule over me, because I've received righteousness and I reign in Christ. Check both of them. One is making his boast in the Lord. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Saying what God did for him. Confessing it before God. Appropriating it as true. And the Holy Spirit is working those words out for him. He walks out and walks in victory. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, he walks out and walks in victory. From the house, from his heart, house is expecting victory. This is the new hope. What you expect. I expect this thing because I believe this is true. Praise the Lord. So it's only the Holy Spirit that can reveal this truth in Christ to us. Because it passes all human understanding. Again, that was why Paul was stoned. They say this man is teaching us to stop obeying Moses. This must be, he must be crazy. Totally crazy. Now 1 Corinthians 2:12. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit. So we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the now walking the Spirit. Introducing you and the Holy Spirit now. Giving you revelation. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit. And they are what? Life. That's the word that reveals to you spiritual realities. Did you see Jesus walk in Christ? I don't see him. Yes, but it's a spiritual reality that he's giving you. And the only way you can receive it is by what? By believing it's there. And so the Holy Spirit gives us that. I'm not done. Don't remove that scripture. Put it back. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human. Why? The truths that we are talking to you pass it human understanding. So human wisdom cannot teach it. And so, you know, all these things came. I was telling to the Lord, I was talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, you want me to teach the church what it means? That we are members of the body of Christ. I was pacing up and there. I said, Lord, I don't know how to illustrate this. To make it simple. So people will understand that we are really part of Christ. I will teach it to as the Lord gives me. I want you to be there. When you understand this thing called church, your life will change. All that weakness will go through the wind. We don't know what church means. That's why we live religious life. I say, Lord, how do I? He said to me, just teach it. It's by my Spirit reveals it to people. If my Spirit doesn't reveal it, nobody can understand. He said, teach it. It is understood by faith, received by faith, and live by faith. Just teach it. That's how I had confidence to start teaching this. Because I was pressing up. I said, Lord, got to open our eyes to understand these things. Because people's mind is stuck to the law. If I was a little restless, I'll pray most of the time. Pray most of the time. I'll come to prepare this and I get up again. I'll be walking up and down and say, Lord, you got to do this thing. Because people have to transit from this law that the brain is comfortable with, human wisdom is comfortable with, to revelation that they. What? So no human being can begin to talk about them. Because we are limited by our vision, by our eyes, by the natural. But this goes beyond the natural. When we talk about the love of God, it says this love of God passes all understanding. It says the peace of God passes all understanding. The salvation of God passes all understanding. The life in Christ passes all understanding. Jesus passes all understanding. The Bible calls him mystery. The Bible calls him the mystery of godliness. that the mystery of godliness was revealed. He came down to earth. He was here. He was preached and he was received. He is the mystery of Christianity. And Jesus said, nobody knows the Father except the Son, and nobody knows the Son except the Father. And he said to Peter, flesh and blood cannot reveal me to you. I'm a mystery. I'm too big. I have always been. Before Abraham and the Jews got crazy, they said, are you older than our father, Abraham? What do you mean? You know, Christ Jesus, the church doesn't really know him well. We have no idea who he is. We call him, we don't know who he is. You know, when I read in scripture, that before creation, that God filled the void. My mind couldn't take it. Do you know void? The entire universe. That God filled the entire universe. Man, I shook up. He said the Spirit of God filled the entire void. And when I saw that the sun is 1.3 million times bigger than the earth. The 1.3 million or what? 800 and something thousand times or something bigger than the earth. I went, whoa. And they found stars that are 1 million times more than bigger than the sun. And the Bible says the Spirit of God filled that void. Talk of who he is. If we know Jesus, you rush and live in him. Those that abide under the shadow of what? He is a reflection of God. He is the shadow of God. He's a reflection. He says he's the reflect. Whoa. Let's rise up and worship him. Let's worship him. Give him praise. Give him reflection. So when Christ came here, he is the shadow of the Almighty that the Bible is talking about. He says the reflection. As a man, reflection. As God, God in full. He said, I'm a reflection. So he is the shadow of God. The Bible says, those that abide under the what? Shadow. Abiding in Christ. Abiding in Jesus. Abiding in Jesus. And verse 14 says, but those who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. Carnal people can't. They want to reason it out, no. They want to no. Jesus said, flesh and blood cannot reveal me to you. Stop trying to use your brain to understand me. It won't work. My Father, only my Father can do that. And so, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds what? Foolish to them. And they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual, you see, live in the Spirit. Live what? Leave your carnal mind alone. Leave your senses and reasoning alone. If you want to live in the Spirit, you got to shut down your senses, shut down your reasoning, and walk by faith only. He said, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit what means. He says, those who are carnal, who want to reason it out, who want to understand it by their carnal senses, they can't. So part of walking in the Spirit in the newness of life is to shut down those your human understanding and begin to trust the Word of God like God told you and trust God as God said, and then your spirit can begin to get revelation out of the mouth of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible warned us, lean not unto your own understanding. Walking in the Spirit is not to lean unto your own understanding. It's to begin to walk in the revelation that the Holy Spirit is giving you about Christ, in whom you walk, your movement in Christ, your being in Christ. That's what it is. Because then you're walking, you're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Did the Bible describe Jesus as a reflection of God? He did. He's the shadow of God. And the Holy Spirit reveals to us the finished work of Calvary. We call it finished work of Calvary, but we really don't understand what we are talking about. When you talk of, it says, okay, let me finish 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. Okay, forget it. Let's go down to, because of time. The Holy Spirit reveals to us the finished what? Works of Calvary. We are familiar with that now. We say the finished work of Calvary. What are they? Let me tell you what they are. In Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's own handiwork. Finished work. God made us something. We are his handiwork. We are his what? Handwork. His workmanship. So God did something in your life. God did something in my life. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship. If you are, say amen. Amen. So we are God's handiwork and his what? Workmanship. In next Thursday or so, we'll start talking about these things. Recreated in Christ Jesus. Born anew. That we may do those good works which God predestined, planned when? Beforehand for us. Taking paths. See? Walking. Taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. Living the good life which he pre-arranged and made ready for us to simply come and live in it. That's walking in the Spirit. He said this work, God finished it, and we say, oh, the finished work of Calvary. Sure. What is it? That God says, come and walk in it. Don't try to produce it. I already finished it. You simply come and walk in it. Come and enjoy it. That's it. But what do we find the church do? We are trying to do what make it happen. I want to change. God says, no. Enter into my rest. Come and walk in it. I've already finished it. Finished work of what? I have made you new. I've changed you. So stop trying to what? Change yourself. I've already changed. Can I ask you a simple question? Do you know how we suffer trying to change? Do you know how depressed we are because we can't change? Because we are not walking in Christ on that issue. We are walking outside of what God said. God said, walk in the Spirit. These are spiritual truths. Walk in Christ. In him you live and move. So you come and walk in this thing I've already prearranged, I've already done. One of them is I've recreated you, I've changed you. You are not what you used to be. I say, God, no. I'm not what you said. God said, no, don't walk by sight. Don't reason it out. Don't use your human. That's carnality. He says, no, those who walk by, that means you are trying to assess that thing, cannot experience it. They cannot receive the things of God. You can't receive the reality of the new thing I made because you are trying to figure it out. He said, no, walk by faith is true. It's a spiritual truth revealed to you. And then the church, once, before we close, I want to say this. My brother, come. Oh, time is over, but come. Come. Let's say you are not Jesus, but to make you 1 second. For 1 second, I want you to see. Please watch me. The Bible says, look unto who? Jesus. He said, in him is all things that you need for life and what? Godliness. God said, I put it in place. I've done everything. And if you look to him, he's the light. Right? He's the light that what? Lightens every man. So if we look to him, your spiritual eyes, we see. So if I look to him, I start seeing what God has done, which I can embrace. And God said, if you those who reason it, don't receive it, can't receive it, cannot, mind cannot. But I'm walking by faith. I start receiving. But all of a sudden, here comes God will come. You know I love you. But today I'm going to give you, no, I won't give you a name. Here comes Bogodi, who begins to introduce me to something else and takes my eyes off him and puts my eyes to, now, once my eyes is off him, blindness comes. Immediately. Because that's the only source of light. And the moment blindness comes, confusion comes. Guess where I'm heading to? The things that my brain can accept, the law. I start struggling again. Start trying to be better. I start trying to achieve. Then I tell God to help me do the law, which he told me to get out of. And then I fast. When I fail, I cry. And then I fast to punish myself so I feel good. Because my conscience is killing me. So I will do some. I will not come out. I won't talk to people. Some don't get out of bed the whole day. Crying. Oh, Lord, I did. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. And then they say, I'm going to fast tomorrow. So why are you fasting? Just to make their conscience feel better. So they feel we have punished ourselves. No, God can now be happy. And God says, how about the cross? See, their eyes is off Jesus completely. Totally. And as long as they are walking in darkness, their life will produce carnality. No matter how they try, it will be producing carnality. But when they look back to Christ and find themselves joined to Christ, the Bible says they produce multiples of good works. Very simple. Did you get what I'm saying? Thank you. Do you know there was a church that did that? If you come on Thursday, I will show you. They took their eyes off of Jesus and produced all manner of iniquity was there. And Paul came and was reintroducing them back, refocusing them to Christ, repointing them back to the light, repointing them back to walking him, telling them, go back and walk in him. When you walk in him, you produce good works. Here you are producing iniquity because your eyes is off Jesus. I want to ask you, mainstream church teaching, which of them points us to Jesus? Is carnality in the church? I'm done. If you come on Thursday, I'll show you from there. The church that looked away from Christ, how sin and everything was ruling them until they looked back to where God said, look unto me. Come and look unto me. I'm your source of salvation. I'm your source of life. I am. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved from your iniquities. Look unto me. I'm your strength. I'm the source of your righteousness. Righteousness is not from you. It's from me. Look unto me. I give life. I'm your strength and everything. And they looked away. And Paul came and said, look back to where you should look and be ye saved. Thank you. God bless you. Really good. Pastor Victor, can you?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.